That's interesting, Johnny. I hadn't really even put much thought into that, though. That if you look at it, he received this word 2 years before the earthquake. The earthquake has happened by the time this is written, or they wouldn't know that it would happen. Because that's not a prophecy. It's a comment made by the author, the human author, which, of course, he was led by the Lord, moved to the Lord to write that information. So before Amos gets down to particulars, he starts with reminding everyone of how it all ends. He says in verse 2, and he said, the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And several times in the Old Testament, you see that. And I think he's talking about this. Who's got Revelation 10?
And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not.
And that's, I mean, first of all, I really believe that's what Amos is referring to. We've talked about how the prophets, sometimes they'll refer to the end, and then they'll come back and prophesy about something contemporary, and that's what Amos is doing. And then they'll go back to the end. And when they refer to the end, that is to be our source of encouragement. And how many of you get encouraged and really excited when you think about the day the Lord comes back? Yeah, that's a mark of being a believer. If you're not a believer, you don't feel that way about the second coming. you think about, we have the seven seals, the seven vials, the seven trumpets. We also have seven thunders. We just don't know what it was said.
Right.
We're not told. Yeah, John?
Yeah. Even though we're not told what the thunders are, I compare scriptural to scripture, it's connected with the voice of God.
Well, yeah, that's what... yeah. But we're not told what he said.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it is the voice of God, yeah. Amen. So now Amos is going to turn his fire upon Damascus, Syria. He says, the Lord will roar from Zion, utter his voice from Jerusalem. Then, says, and the habitations of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. Carmel is a reference to northern Israel. But then before he gets to that, he's going to pronounce judgment on several nations, starting with Damascus of Syria. So let's read, if you're there, verses 3 through 5. Read the odd verses with me. Beginning verse 3, read 3 and 5 with me. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Damascus, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have threshed Gilead with threshing instruments of iron. But I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. I will break also the bar of Damascus, and cut off the inhabitant from the plain of Avon, and him that holdeth the scepter from the house of Eden, and the people of Syria shall go into captivity, into Kir, saith the Lord. So Amos traveled from Tekoa to Bethel, and that's the reference to Carmel, and delivered this prophecy. Now, according to the maps, it's an 8-hour, 23-minute walk.
It's a long way.
I bet that would take me longer than 8 hours and 23 minutes. I don't know how fast that guy's going, but it's almost the length of a marathon. 24.4, isn't it? What's the marathon? Do anybody know, Rob?
26.2 miles.
26.2, so it's just a couple miles, 1.8 miles short of being a marathon. Now, if you could run a marathon, I don't know how long that'd take. What is a typical marathon? I mean, like an average runner. What would an average runner run a marathon in?
Have three
3:15 to 3:20, and everybody else is 4 or 5 before they close the course down. 5 hours.
Yeah, so I'd say most people would make it in 5 hours if they were a runner. I would be dead at about 5 miles. So who's got Amos 7, 12, and 13?
Me.
All right, Johnny, read that.
And also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and prophesy there. But prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court.
So he'd gone up to Bethel and prophesied, and they're saying, you know what, you need to go back home. You know, go down there and get yourself a good meal, and leave us alone. It's the equivalent. How many of you noticed in Washington, D.C., they've got churches where all the politicians go?
Yeah.
I can tell you right now that when they go and hear a sermon, it's rarely anything biblical. And that then you'd have somebody, you know, like I'm just telling you, they've never invited me, but if they invited me, they'd get a biblical sermon.
Amen.
And I'm no Amos, but I do my best. So back to Amos 1:3, that says, thus saith the Lord, for 3 transgressions of Damascus and for 4. That's a term. It doesn't mean that God's counted. You know, I hope I don't hurt anybody's feelings, but there's parents that do that, drive me crazy. Kids doing something wrong. 1, 2, don't make me count to 3. You know what? Your kid's dead. If you do that with your kid, you're setting your kid up to be killed, because they're going to be doing something one day, and you're going to want them to stop now and not to 3. And if you got if they have to, if they know they're going to get by to 3, they do it. Kids, all are a lady, and if she's watching, I don't think she'd mind me sharing this. I'm not going to tell her name, but she was a bus driver for a school or for a church. Had one of those kids. And his parents had taught him he didn't have to do what they said the first 2 or 3 times they said it. She tried to tell him to stop. He ignored her, ran in front of a car going about 45 miles an hour, killed him. Yeah. Right there in front of her eyes. Years that woman dealt with that, and it wasn't her fault. I'm sorry, but it was the parents' fault.
Yeah.
Now, God is more patient than that. But he isn't dealing with physical death, and he's dealing with judgment. So when he allows you to get by with things and he has mercy, it's keeping, because otherwise what he would do the first time you do it, he'd kill you. So see, I've heard people make that comparison. Don't compare yourself to God. He's in a whole different ball game. And he's talking about being merciful and patient with the judgment for your sin. And he doesn't just count to 3 or 4. That's an idiom. Have you heard of idiom? Not idiot, idiom. And it's repeated. You'll see it doesn't mean that God counts to 3 or 4. This is what Joseph Sutcliffe said in his commentary. Quote: "For 3 transgressions, I will not turn away." The style of this inspired shepherd is highly classical, though plain. Homer, in the Odyssey, pronounces the Greeks thrice, yea, 4 times blessed. And Virgil, imitating his friend, him in his Aeneid, uses the number 3 and 4 in the same form as Homer. So at about the same time as Amos, or I think Amos predates them. I can't remember the years of Homer and Virgil. But it's just a term that was used a lot back then. Yes?
Maybe something like, they gave me this and themselves. So like adding more. You start with an amount and then you add to it to say, I have like plenty and then there's more.
And we use the, I've told you 1,000,000 times.
Okay.
Really? No, it's just a way of saying you've used up all your opportunities. I'm done. So verse 3 again. Because they have threshed Gilead with threshing. And it goes on, the threshing instruments of iron. I should add that in the rest of the verse. This was prophesied by Elisha and fulfilled by Hazael. And you see that in verse 4. But I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. And over in 2 Kings 8:7-10. Jessica, are you there?
Yeah.
Read verses 7 through 10.
And Elijah came to Damascus, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, was sick. And it was told him, saying, "The man of God is come hither." And the king said unto Hazael, "Take a present in thine hand, and go, meet the man of God, and inquire of the Lord by him, saying, Shall I recover of this disease?" So Hazael went to meet him, and took a present with him, even of every good thing of Damascus, 40 camels burden, and came and stood before him, and said, "Thy son Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, hath sent me to thee, saying, Shall I recover of this disease?" And Elijah said unto him, "Go, say unto him, Thou mayest certainly recover. Howbeit the Lord has showed me that he shall surely die."
Now how's that work? You know how it works? He tells him he's going to recover, but he'll still die. In other words, he's going to recover from the disease, but he's going to die. It's what I missed the first few times I read through this. In the next verses, an awkward stare down ensues between Elisha and Hazael. Jenny, are you there? Read verses 11 through 13. Now watch what verse 11 says.
And he settled his countenance steadfastly until he was ashamed, and the man of God wept.
So in other words, there's this awkward silence, and he's just standing there, and ashamed, it means kind of like embarrassed and kind of awkward. You know, you ever been in that situation? Someone just looking at you? Like, you wonder. That's what it says. Go ahead. Verse 12.
And Hazael said, "Why weepeth my lord?" And he answered, "Because I know the evil that thou wilt do unto the children of Israel. Their strongholds wilt thou set on fire, and their young men wilt thou slay with the sword, and wilt dash their children, and rip up their women with child." And Hazael said, "But what is thy servant, a dog, that he should do this great thing?" And Elisha answered, "The Lord hath showed me that thou shalt be king over Syria."
So when he says, "I will send or up above," he says, "I will not turn away the punishment there, because they have threshed Gilead with threshing instruments of iron." Remember, Gilead is in that area where Manasseh and Gad, what's the other one? There were 2.5 tribes where they were before they went over Jordan in that area. And that's where Syria came down, and they just started ripping through Israel. And they literally ripped up the pregnant women with, it says, instruments of iron. They used their swords and spears and killed the women and their babies. And it all happened as Elisha prophesied, and as Amos confirms. So then we close with verses 4 and 5, "But I was sent into the house of Hazael, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. I will break also the bar of Damascus, and cut off the inhabitant from the plain of Aben, and him that holdeth the scepter from the house of Eden. And the people of Syria shall go into captivity into Kir, saith the Lord." So Damascus was defeated, and its inhabitants were carried north by Assyria toward the Caucasus Mountains. You see a map here. The Caucasus are up there in the area that used to be known as Armenia. And part of Armenia is in Turkey today. And you can see Damascus way down here where it says Syria. They were all carried away. What they would do is they would take everybody from whatever territory they conquered, and they would move them to another place, and it was a way of controlling them. They wanted to use them. They actually would use them and keep their economy cooking, and they would use them for free labor, slaves, and that kind of thing. And but they didn't want them to be able to be organized and settled and all that. You remember that's what they came down into Judah and told them, you know, that you don't listen to Hezekiah. You just do what we're saying. We'll take you to a place that's real nice. You're going to like it. Yeah. And that House of Eden is referred to, stood out to me, but it's the name of a place near Damascus connected with the location of a pagan temple in particular. But there are several places in the ancient days they called the House of Eden. And it was a reference to pagan temples. And that goes to back to what we've talked about before. They all come from the ark. Every people on the earth come back to Noah. Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And that's why they have their own flood myths, they call them. And they're a lot of their worship, you think, wow, that's very similar to what you see in Christianity or in Judaism in the Old Testament. So that's our introduction to Amos. As always, God fulfilled His word completely and always will. Amen? And we're going to pick up there next time.
By the grace of God, we'll meet you. By glory, glory, hallelujah.